Hi, I'm Georgette Pierre, and you're listening to Black and Nuance Podcast, dispelling the idea that Black people are monolithic. So it was around April or May 2018, and I had hit a wall in TV production. Moreover, production management, which is the financial nucleus of any production for TV, films, commercials, you name it. If related to shooting something on screen, my department's responsible for budgeting and assembling everything needed to execute the creative's vision. So that's also including hiring the crew. This has lent itself to a lot of physically taxing work as well. I didn't want to do it anymore. I wanted to be more creative in the work, but wasn't sure how to get to that side of things. I still had a roommate in New York and recall asking myself, if I could go after something with no perceived obstacles in my way, what would it be? I instantly heard the words on-air hosting. I had started in radio, but let it become a dream deferred after not landing a job in commercial radio right after grad school. So around that time, I was hesitant about leaving New York, so I fixated on Miami because I still wanted the comfort of a major city on the East Coast. I imprinted on the radio station I wanted, although I emailed various program directors in the area to set up informational interviews. I bought a plane ticket and was going to let the universe do its thing, and she did. The only program director that responded back to me for the informational interview ended up being the person that hired me. In June 2018, I was off to Miami to become a local morning host for the Ricky Smiling Morning Show. I didn't know what that meant, but I slid in and learned as much as I could as quickly as I could. The transition to Miami was tough, though. I didn't realize how good I had it from a work environment standpoint. But when you're over something, you easily take things for granted. I was bright-eyed, bushy-tailed when I arrived in Miami, but apparently what I had to give or share wasn't well-received. I came from fucking New York, so my work ethic starts at 100. The environment I unknowingly walked into was quite the opposite. I remember a former colleague of mine who was so gracious and supportive asking me why I came down there because my credentials read like I deserved to be somewhere else. That should have been my first sign of some shit being up, but I was just excited to be there until I wasn't. Fast forward a year later, I had been duped and I was ready to go. The work environment was toxic, exacerbated by the same person that hired me. Ain't that some shit? Although I rocked with a few coworkers, it was far from a team environment. I got to meet and hang out with Ricky, and he didn't do that with everybody. I felt like I had thrown part of my life away for this traumatic experience. I also got clear that TV is where I wanted to be full-time telling Black stories. Let's be clear, hosting and interviewing people are still within me, but I was going to create my own opportunities around that. I was trying to get back to New York and was profusely applying to so many jobs. I meet my next guest, who was looking for someone like me around the time I was plotting to leave.
I had no clue that I was looking for a person because my board op, as you called it, side producer, tech producer, I like to call him tech producer, he was in the process of leaving and my back was against the wall.
That syndicated radio personality and someone I would consider a mentor and friend, Lenny Green. He is the host of a syndicated evening show called The Quiet Storm on WBLS in New York and does a local version of Miami on Hot 105. The sister station of then station I used to work at called 99 Jams.
It's so funny, when it's time for me to host a show, I can do that effortlessly. Now you want me to do this in this kind of way. I would introduce myself as a brother who hails out of Brooklyn, New York, found his first love of music by singing. And as the journey continued early in my life, once I discovered I was not going to be Michael Jackson II, I ended up going to a community college in Brooklyn and was quite encouraged to visit a radio station, which changed my life to where I am today. Because what ended up happening, I instantly fell in love with the world of radio, and I wanted to know all about it. It was like God turned off one switch and said, this is the lane you must go into. And I didn't hesitate. I was saddened at the moment because I loved singing. I was singing since I was 9 years old. So 35 years in the game now, it hasn't been an easy walk, but by God's grace, I'm still standing, I'm still moving.
So you and I meet under some unique circumstances. I had hit a plateau, so I went to Miami to work for 99 Jams, DJ Khaled's old station. Got to Miami, and it wasn't what I thought it was. I took an $80,000 pay cut to be in a work environment that was toxic. I would fly to New York on the weekends just to recharge and bottle up that energy. And then you came along, and you reminded me of the New York I missed. You also showed up as I was trying to get out of Miami and back up top. You mentioned that you had a show and I asked how I could get hired to board op for you up there. What are some things you shared with me during that season in my life? What could you share with the collective on navigating your own career plateaus, especially when you feel like quitting or don't feel like you have anything left?
Well, let me, without answering that question directly, let me just say this in retrospect and in shadow aspect. Everything was supposed to happen the way it was supposed to happen. You getting to a level of frustration, you had no clue that I was looking for a person because my board op, as you called it, side producer, tech producer, I like to call him tech producer, he was in the process of leaving and my back was against the wall. We all want things when we want them. The hardest thing for us to digest, and I think I learned this in my journey and I'm still learning it, is understanding patience, understanding the season that you're in. Things are not going to happen when you want them. Things are going to happen when they're supposed to happen. Now, that does not mean that you should not continue to pursue and push and strive for what you want, but that means that it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. What you are supposed to do diligently with assertiveness is pursue and still move forward. You can't stay in a hole. You cannot not give up. You're being tested to see if you really do want this. You really want to go. You really are desired to fulfill the ultimate dream. I'm a dreamer. I know that might sound crazy to some people, but I do believe in dreams. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite books back in the day was by Les Brown, Dreams. It's an interesting book. It's timeless. So if you're listening to this right now and you're stuck in a moment and maybe you are a dreamer or maybe you're not, I would suggest that you read that book among a ton of others. But our connection and our purpose in meeting, because I had no idea who I was going to meet upon coming to Miami, I knew that I could not leave my duties in New York. So I was able to finagle and negotiate and work out the deal that allowed me to still work in New York under contract and cut a side deal and get under contract with the media company that we were at. You know, you were working for 99 Jams, but the company was called Cox Media. I'm working for Hot 105. You know, sister, brother, station. So upon us meeting, you didn't know what I needed, and I didn't know what you were desiring to do, get back to New York. The wonderful thing about it is that you were already in the game, and you were doing it. You were doing part-time work, so you touched the board. You touched the control board. You knew the mechanisms of what did what. You just didn't know, obviously, as no one did. I didn't know the board, per se, when I came to Hot 105 in Miami until I got taught the board. I know the philosophy. I know how to run the board, but I have to understand how it all works and comes together. So that was the blessing. And then when you shared with me that you were dying to get out and you needed to get back to New York, I was in need of a person like you with your awareness, with your technical awareness, and with your ability to understand how to run a show. Mm-hmm. You were already a part of or worked with a syndicated show at one point, I thought. Am I wrong?
Yep, I was the local host for the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. Shout out, Ricky.
Shout out, Ricky.
Shout out to the bros. But yeah, no, Ricky was so gracious. But yeah, I literally, majority of the time, I was running the board for his show to air.
And I have a syndicated show. So
I didn't even compare the two. That's a great point. I didn't even look at it like that.
So yeah, we both had syndicated shows, but mine had to be pre-recorded and you were a part of a live show, but it's all syndication. Yeah. And that means a lot. So you brought a lot to my table. Our path connected with kindred spirits. So we just connected on a different plane, which allowed us to gel together and see each other on the same level intellectually, and not to mention you're in the business, and not to mention you're aware how to do what you need to do, and not to mention I need a person like you in New York. So yeah, it was frustrating for me because I know I was on a time clock with the guy who the tech producer who I had who needed to leave, and then you were on a time clock to a small degree to get out. So ladies and gentlemen, it happened in the most divine way it's supposed to. And yeah. I thought the transition was smooth. Once you got to WBLS in New York and things worked out there, my thing was, okay, how quick will she learn the format? You knew what to do, but you got to learn the format, and it's got to flow flawlessly. So you were a quick learner, and you were dedicated to it. But then, you know, I also realized upon getting to know you a little better, you were juggling things too, because you were working in TV production.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm already bald. I got to pull out more hair. I don't have
more hair.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, so now we have to work around your schedule, but at least you were able to give me for a moment when you first got there, just nonstop support and work. And so you were a godsend. You were timely.
Thank you.
And you were meant to help me. And I guess we were meant to connect. Little did I know who I was going to meet. And that should be a lesson to those who are listening. You just never know along this journey called life, along the journey that you're trying to pursue, who you're going to meet along the way and how will they play a vital role in your life.
And those words couldn't ring more true. So I made it back to New York, and I'm navigating my own challenges around that. Because a lot had changed in a year. I felt a loud energy shift. I was curious about Lenny's own challenges, with him keeping his syndicated show in New York and deciding to do a local version of it in Miami.
The biggest challenge is being patient. That's the biggest lesson still to this day, but I've learned to balance my energy in a different kind of way. Whether you're an actor, whether you're a singer, a producer, it's learning all of the necessary things in order for you to grow bigger and greater. And it's not highly rewarding financially. It's really not. If you are a person who has always been great at saving money, I commend you, because that's the key. If you had made some money and you made some early investments, smart move, and keep that, because you will see that that's going to pay off even more as you go down the road. Desiring to want to be like you, you fell in love with radio, and then you wanted things instantly. It doesn't happen like that. So the challenge I had was working in small markets. It was like going away to college.
The analogy of going away to college when you're pursuing a radio career actually tracks now that I think about it. Lenny found himself working in small markets like an AM station in Richmond, Virginia, a city I used to live in as well, before he humbly came back to New York to his mother's house and another opportunity presented itself.
Came back to New York, fell in a situation where I needed money. So when I came back to New York, I was back at home. Upon doing that, fell into a situation where I found a job Monday through Friday working for a radio syndication company called MJI Broadcasting. They produced and packaged all these radio shows in every kind of format, whether it was country, rock, urban. They had all jazz. They had all these formats that they would produce. And artists and actors would come in when they were in New York and sit down at this syndication company, depending on the format, depending on the genre of music. And they would do interviews with various producers, and we would use what we call actualities. We'd just take a clip. You wouldn't hear the interviewer, but you hear the person they are interviewing. And we would package those, and they would sell them to radio stations. So met this brother along the way. Shout out to brother Ken Simmons, who now works with me. He's a part of my team, but he was very well connected. He was been in the game for a long time, sports enthusiast, but he made so many connections with people. Building relationships is so, so important. I remember him interviewing people, and I said to him, I said, you know, sir, if you can ever make an interview one day, I think I love interviewing people, so please consider me. I can help out if you need my help in whatever way. Eventually, he threw me the bone, but my job as an office administrator at that time was just scheduling the studio for various producers or writers so they can set it up when they had guests, and working with a lady who was in charge of the department. And then I still had my love for radio. So I'm not working, you know, in no capacity of radio at this stage of the game. I found out about a radio station in Connecticut. So I said, oh, Connecticut's close. They were looking for a part-time announcer. I qualified for it. and got the weekend gig. So now I'm working 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, doing that job. And then Saturday and Sunday, getting on the Metro North and going up to Connecticut. I was fulfilling a passion. Did that for a year. After a year, the owners of the radio station in Connecticut said, we want to offer you a full-time job.
Okay.
But
Connecticut was kind of what set everything into motion with you getting that full-time, and then it kind of led into other things.
Well, Connecticut was actually where I cut the carpet. That's where I really think I honed most of my skills and paid attention even more. So I worked up in Connecticut for 8-9 years. And that span of 8 or 9 years was the learning lesson. It was also the most challenging, because imagine working for a company and payday comes and you go to the bank and they say, I'm sorry, sir, it's insufficient funds in the account. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Insufficient funds. That's a struggling moment, because guess what? I got, now I left New York. I'm living up in Connecticut.
I'm
paying bills called rent, called cable, and called electricity. And now insufficient funds after I work?
Yeah.
I can't begin to tell you how that was the ongoing joke. Like, who's going to get to the bank first before you get the insufficient funds conversation?
Yeah.
You are fucked.
In short.
What ended up happening, I had got backed up 3 months on my rent.
Oh.
I called my boys up. I said, yo, you got to help me move out, man. I can't pay this rent. Got to get out of here. I rented a U-Haul truck around 2 o'clock in the morning. We were like church mice on a mission.
I mean, it shit adds up, because I've fallen behind on rent. But so speaking of that, right, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and learning curves in this business. So when I went from college radio to commercial radio, I was like, whoa, commercial radio, I think there's like this glitz and glamour that you're on the microphone, tons of people can hear you, there's an assumption that you're making all this money, and you just basically debunked that when you started off. What were your learning curves, though?
It made me second guess if I should do this, because, you know, once you have a desire to do something, depending on who you are, depending on how your passion is for it, you want to stay with it. You know, I'm a person that likes to complete things, even though procrastination has fell into my lane on many occasions. But despite of you getting beat up, despite of you not getting paid, despite of you not knowing if you can buy groceries and you're ending up eating pizza and Subway sandwiches, despite of all that, you're still hanging in there. Now, I guess, you know, I could have gave up and just went back home and found a job. Because prior to pursuing, or I should say when I started singing, and I also thought about being a cop when I was growing up. I also thought about being a court officer. And looking back on those jobs, it wouldn't have been a bad move. You know, I could see myself being a police officer, especially undercover. I could see myself being a court officer. And those are great jobs, you know, with good benefits, good pensions. We didn't think about those words when I was growing up, i.e., hence the fourth, one of the reasons why I took the job in Miami. Yeah. That was one of the main reasons. I mean, Miami's a great market. It's a great radio market. And there's a lot of great radio markets, but not every career in radio will give you benefits and a 401k.
Okay.
Very rare to get. I mean, you can get your own benefits, you know, independently.
But that's out of your pocket.
It's out of your pocket. This was a company I was going to work for that was going to give me benefits. That was like, ooh, the money wasn't great, but the benefit, there's a yin and a yang to this.
Yeah.
Money's not that great, but I got benefits and I got a 401k. I need that, you know, because again, you know, as you get older, if you allow yourself to think, you got to think about, look, thank God we woke up this morning.
Yeah.
And upon waking up this morning, we're not ill, but nothing in life is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So you always want to make sure you are trying to think at least 15 steps ahead.
Yeah.
And that's very, very hard. If you can just think 2 steps ahead, I think that works perfectly well as well.
It makes me think about the journey from New York in 2018 to Miami and back to New York in 2019. Everything in my late 30s became about making money, and I had made 6 figures freelancing in TV before that $80,000 pay cut. When I think back on it, I was a little offended because of the sacrifice I made to come down there only to be thrown into the work conditions I thought were a hottie mess. Moving back to New York was a major adjustment too. I landed a humble studio apartment and I was grateful because most people had to live with roommates due to the high cost of living. When the pandemic hit shortly after, I had to navigate the highs and lows of that space. When I came out of it, I freelanced at a company that was a trigger for parts of the PTSD I experienced in Miami all over again. I got hired at the end of 2020, and this company decided not to renew my contract in 2021. So when I was searching for other jobs, I only focused on the money aspect and didn't really read the room. Every job didn't equate to six figures. It took me about a year to get hired again, and I ended up taking a junior position just to get back into the world of TV. It was very humbling, to say the least. It really boiled down to what was important: the money or being in the room making connections again. Life has a way of interrupting the vision we have for ourselves, and I was humbled after being unemployed for almost a year. I asked Lenny what he would have deemed a life interrupted moment, a what the fuck just happened moment that caused him to course correct personally and or professionally.
If I understand you correctly, the moment was probably when I was working in Connecticut, because it made me question everything. It made me question, you know, I've been working up there for a minute and not having a great history of working, period, but a process of pursuing a career. You know, it's different when you have a regular job. And I've had regular jobs. You know, I was a bike mechanic. I sold rugs. I worked in retail. I worked for other administration, you know, regular office jobs, kind of job situations. So now I'm pursuing a career. And just as you had said in the beginning, you know, you wanted certain things to happen. I wanted certain things to happen. You know, I wanted my career to pop off. As soon as I fell in love with radio, I thought I could work in New York City radio.
Yep.
Unrealistic. Unrealistic. But
tell them why it's unrealistic.
Because you don't know shit. You have to pay your dues. You have to learn it. It's a craft. I remember that. I won't mention names, but I remember a program director. I did get an interview at WBLS, and I went into the office. He put in my demo, my air check, all of 60 seconds. That would be 1 minute. Came from around the desk and said, put his index finger up and said, one, learn to talk to one. And I got up. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
What? I didn't understand what he meant. Until sat back, started listening to my mentors even more. And my mentors is not people I knew personally yet, you know, but they were people that I looked up to, because once I fell in love with radio, I really started paying attention to who was on the radio and the styles they had. And I'm thankful that I was able to listen to some golden voices of radio that are so iconic and historical, one being Frankie Crocker. You know, he wasn't just a New York radio personality. They knew him in the business, whether you were an artist or whether you were wanted to be a radio guy. You knew who Frankie Crocker was back in the day. You knew who Vaughn Harper was. He was our, in the Northeast, Quiet Storm guy, even though the Quiet Storm did not start in New York. So I just started paying attention more, but once I got the ball rolling, once I went to that Virginia thing and then Virginia didn't work out, I ended up in Connecticut. Now I'm working in Connecticut, much far greater than I am working in Virginia. And now I want to leave. I want to go to the next level. And I started throwing out my demo tapes to different people, not losing sight of wanting to be in New York. But I knew New York. I said, well, maybe I'm still not good enough. You know, maybe I'm still not ready. And I'm sending it here. I'm talking to this radio consultant, and he is like giving me hope. Okay, oh, maybe I got this job in Chicago, or maybe I got this job in North Carolina. Nope, motherfucker, you did not get the job. It just took a lot of perseverance, and it took a lot of endurance, and it took a lot of me just sitting in that space and understanding what was going on as best as I could. Mm-hmm. Balance it out, because you have to understand the people I was working with too, we all were in that moment of not knowing, like, what in the hell is going to happen next? Like, how long do we stay here, not knowing when we're going to get our checks on time and deal with this, you know? But I had grown in other areas of the business. Aside from being on air, I became the music director and assistant program director. And what does that mean? That's a very nice title to have. It allowed me to create contacts, no, really, in the business. It allowed me to meet people. It allowed me to be invited to certain industry events. So networking and building relationships. And again, the relationship building in our career is quintessential in every career. You have to build some kind of rapport with people in that circle or people that's connected to the industry that you want to get in.
During our conversation about his life interrupted moment, there was also another moment where he had to take care of his mom as she was transitioning. That wasn't an interruption, but a major course correction, both personally and professionally.
And I had I ended up having a split personality. The interrupted moment with me still doing what I was doing was when my mom got older. And I was waking up every morning, going to the hospital, stayed at the hospital all day until it was time for me to go to work. An interruption, yeah, but I didn't look at it as an interruption. It was something I had to do. You know, we forget as we get older, we get so much in a mindset of our egos play so big on us. We fail to remember the people who took care of us when we didn't know ourselves, who wiped our ass before we knew what our ass was about. If you're so blessed to have your parents in your life and they age, my mom always said, you're twice a child and once an adult. Because as a lot of people grow older, not everyone, you'll find yourself being the parent to your parent. And for me, it was, this is what I have to do. It wasn't a bad interruption. It was what I had to do. But I had a split personality. And it was like when I was at the hospital, I was dealing with stuff that was dealing with my mom. And then I'm traveling back home with her still in my top of my head. It was like when I turned on the mic, I was there. When I turned off the mic, my mind was where my mom was, you know? And this is as she got older. An interruption, I wouldn't call it that, but it's definitely
something that caused you to start thinking about things a lot differently as you were navigating your...
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, I didn't think about my career. I was thankful. And everything, again... Georgia, everything happens for a reason. And you don't know why things happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't know, wow, I ended up here because of that, or I was able to get this because this happened. When you look at things, you take an out-of-body experience and you really think about how things kind of come together. I wasn't driving at the time, yet I had one of my friends who was working very close with me as my photographer and videographer. He had an extra car. And he said, hey, man, your mom is in the hospital. Here are my keys. Use it at your free will. Just gas it up. How did that happen? It's just, there's certain things that I know, and I'm a spiritual man, and I really know I constantly have, even upon taking a job in Florida, my relationship with God has increased tremendously. Upon my mom transitioning, it increased even more, you know? And then during the pandemic, it was not affecting me like it affected most people because I was still working. I was an essential aspect to helping people in a small kind of way by entertaining them at the least because the world was flattened. The world was still. We couldn't do anything. There was nothing socially going on. And people were trying to find things just to stay balanced emotionally and mentally. So radio became a great friend to many people. And we found out, you know, how relationships either grew or fell apart during that pandemic. So, you know, I'm thankful for the lessons that I've learned, but they are challenging. And they're not only challenging to me, we're all gonna go through that moment to make us stronger, make us to question, do you really want this or do you not?
What would have been the title of your story before those life interrupted moments?
Being patient and it would have a subtitle. So being patient would probably be the bold. Understand the process of life. Understanding the process of life. Yeah, that would have been it then.
What would it be now?
Understanding the process. So being patient is one thing. Do you understand it? Do you know why? Is this your moment? What else are you supposed to do? Do you just do one thing? Do you wait on one thing? I was telling my niece, I was like, you have to light every pot on the oven, on the stove. You have to light every burner. You just can't settle for one thing. Nor should you be able to do just one thing.
So before your life interrupt a moment, being patient, understanding the process, and then after, it's just understanding the process. Are you applying the things?
Right. And I think it's a constant, you know, recap of that chapter, that book.
I agree.
Because my career is not finished yet. Mm-hmm. My vision is not fulfilled yet.
Yes.
The level of where I want to go, God willing, hasn't occurred yet.
Yeah.
But I'm still defiant. I'm still eagerly pushing forward and wanting to do more. I come from a family of workers, you know, factory workers, civil workers, we worked, you know, there was no, and I looked at all of my, you know, all of my family members before me, my mama, my auntie, my grandfather, they all worked. They were workers. You know, we as a people have been workers. Maybe it came down through, culturally it came down, you know, from, and then upon my mom transitioning, I find out my ancestry, my African ancestry, I'm half Nigerian. We're workers, you know, so we believe in just making sure that, one, the family's taken care of, family is quintessential, and more importantly, the work has to be done, and we're going to make sure that the work is done because we want fulfillment in that as well.
Cheers to you and I, Lenny. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
For what you are doing, for what you desire to achieve, and that you're not letting anything hold you back. So I know it's challenging. I know it's the process. It's the process, you know, and I know it will be testing your patience, but what I love about what you're doing, Georgette, is that you're not giving up and you're pushing forward. And I feel that if people are most passionate about things, they will come to fruition. Not at the time they want it to, but it will come. The question is, do you have the endurance to wait out the process?
Ooh, okay. Because I talk to God about that every day. God are my answers. So I was like, God, what's happening? What are we doing? I am struggling over here. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I really needed to hear that. And I received that. I'm going to put this in the show notes, but Lenny, tell them how they can find you online.
Please log in with me. I'm on social media, on Instagram at Lenny Green Official, on Facebook at Lenny Green. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I could use a friend or two. You know, we've been fortunate to have so many wonderful guests come on to The Quiet Storm with Lenny Green. There's a million Quiet Storm shows. Let me put that out there right now. So just because you hear the word Quiet Storm, it is not me. But if you hear the title, The Quiet Storm with Lenny Green, you got me then. So we've been blessed to have so many wonderful, amazing folks come by The Quiet Storm. We've built some wonderful relationships. Sometimes I have more actors than singers. But come on by, lock in on my YouTube channel, Lenny Green QS on YouTube, and catch up and see the many conversations and the many folks that have come by the station to be a part of very interesting evenings. And you'll learn about whatever they're working on. But yeah, lock in with me and we shall connect soon. And you know, I got to shout out my family, obviously, but all my radio family, because we are in, and I did not say this maybe in the beginning, I thank you for saying and let everybody know that, you know, I am in few places. So we just added Atlanta. We're in Michigan now, in Battle Creek and Grand Rapids. We're also in Athens, Georgia. We're in Augusta, Georgia, which is James Brown's country. You know, James Brown was born and raised in Augusta. But we're also in Arkansas. We're in Nassau, Bahamas. We're in Oklahoma City. We're in Jacksonville, Florida. We're in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We're in Louisiana. And we're in Milwaukee, and of course, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. So God has been so blessing to me and has blessed me with expanding my territory, and I can only pray that he continues to do that.
Lenny, go ahead and put me on payroll. You know how I show up, right?
Yeah. You know, when I start making that Ricky Smiley money, shout out once again to Ricky Smiley, you got the job. I'm telling you that right now. You have
Lenny, you know, I'll be coming in on the producer tip, right?
I know.
What you mean, Lenny? What you
no,
mean?
You, and you know what? You deliver.
Thank you.
You are a woman of great strength and you're focused, so I know you deliver. And I'm glad that it was meant for us to meet when we did. It was helpful to you And little did you know, you were extremely blessed to me. So everything happens for a reason. We were destined to be together. Let the record show.
Yes, let the record show. Seriously, I'm so grateful for Lenny's knowledge and his openness to share his story. One thing's for sure, ain't shit linear. And that's all me being the pot calling the kettle black. Because I'm still navigating what it looks like to allow more fluidity in my work and my life. Here's to figuring out a constantly evolving work-life balance. Hear this. If you've ever felt like giving up, hanging it up, putting it down, throwing it all away, then you're on the right track. Because a lot of our faves and our respected peers most likely have similar stories and parallels in that the work they felt so connected to was part of their life's work and their journey. We don't get anywhere unscathed. The goal is just to find healthier ways to navigate the shit in between. One of my favorite quotes, said to have originated with Portuguese author Fernando Sabino, although popularized by singer John Lennon, is everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, then it's not the end. I still got shit to do, and so do you. So what are you waiting for? Until the next episode, peace. This podcast was written and hosted by me, Georgette Pierre, associate producer Tristan Bragg, and co-producer and editor Wise Grisette for the Indie Creative Network. Music by Otis McDonald, King Canyon, and Bail Bonds. You can follow my conversations on Twitter at Georgette and Instagram at Georgette Pierre. That's GeorgettePierre. You can follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Black Nuance Pod. That's Black, NuancePod, or email us at blacknuancepod@gmail.com, spelled the same exact way. Subscribe and share from your favorite podcast app. We're streaming on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and more. Thanks for listening. Yeah.